We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Yes, I'm Celeste Quinn, and this is Focus, and I'm in the chair in the first hour of the program today. And our guest this morning in this hour of the show, Susan Kundrat. And we open the phone lines and the email message folder for questions about diet and nutrition today on Focus. Susan Kundrat is a licensed registered dietitian. One topic that we thought we would take up this morning, building lean foods into our meals and how that can help us lose body fat. Susan is also happy to field whatever your questions on diet and nutrition may be. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to your phone calls and email messages. Here are the phone numbers. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Susan is a sports and wellness nutritionist and president of Nutrition on the Move. She's an adjunct lecturer with the University of Illinois Food Science and Human Nutrition Department. She's the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. She's also the sports dietitian for Illini Athletics, and she leads nutrition and cooking classes at the Activities and Recreation Center at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the phone numbers, and the email address, will-talk@illinois.edu, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see you this morning. Beautiful spring morning.
It's a beautiful morning, no doubt about it.
Well, you said, let's begin with talking about lean foods and lean eating. So where do you want to start with that topic?
Well, when we think about lean eating or eating foods that will help you stay lean, keep a fit body, one thing to look at in the beginning or think about is trying to eat to maintain what I would call functional weight. And so when we think of functional body weight, think of things like what part of your body is really working for you? Bone, muscle, ligaments, tendons, tissues, keeping your fluids up, your blood healthy, those kinds of things. And obviously we all need body fat. We all need to maintain enough body fat that we're healthy and that we're strong. But what happens, of course, as we age is we sort of shift where we have a little bit less muscle, our bones are not quite as strong, and we have more of our weight go towards body fat. And so one of the ways to think about that nutritionally, as opposed to just thinking about weight loss, is really taking it a step further and saying, well, if I'm fueling the parts of my body that really we want to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that first and how would you kind of think of it that way and being able to do that and stay strong and stay fit as much as we can, then we know for many people, as long as you're not eating too much, then you are going to be dropping some weight somewhere and it's going to have to come primarily from body fat. And so maybe looking at what particular foods, how to eat, how to time your eating so that we're maximizing particularly lean muscle mass. But we do know that if you're eating well and you're maintaining a good nutritional status in your body and you're somewhat active, then that also affects your bone. And so a lot of times people will lose bone partly because they're just not as active as they get older. They'll also lose bone because they're not eating as well. And so we want to do everything nutritionally, maintain bone and maintain lean muscle and tissues. And as a side effect, of course, for many of us, losing a little weight is not a bad thing because we do know if you are overweight, that even losing 5 or 10 pounds for most people will really metabolically shift the body and help in many ways, whether that's helping your blood sugar, helping cholesterol levels. We know 5 or 10 pounds in many people will help with blood pressure if your blood pressure is a little high. So I think we hear so much about weight loss and trying to get off those 20, 30, 40 pounds or really, you know, people thinking, oh, I'm 40 pounds overweight, I'm 50 pounds overweight. Maybe start small and say, let's work on Maintaining. Yeah, 5 pounds will make a difference.
Or not putting any more on.
Right.
Right, maintaining.
Right, okay. Or maintaining.
So when you start with small steps, you're more likely to succeed.
Exactly, exactly.
So bottom line, you want to keep the good stuff. You want to keep good bone. You want to keep good lean muscle. But the fatty stuff, you want to kind of work on that. And you can do that by eating lean and maintaining your exercise or stepping that up gradually as well.
Right.
Okay, so if we look at the plate now.
Yes.
And we're going to say, okay, we're going to embark on this. So what does the plate look like now? I would imagine we want to have our fruits and vegetables. They're almost like freebies unless you're watching sugar and you got to watch the fruit.
Right.
But then we want lean protein.
Yes.
And we want carbs, but not just any old carbs.
Right.
We want the good carbs.
The good carbs.
Okay. So what does that plate look like? What are we having for lunch today?
Okay. Well, if that's a good way to look at it. You take your plate and you say, I'm going to divide that plate in half. And so when you're eating lean, the thing that we know that most people are not getting enough of is produce. And so we've had a lot of shows where we've talked about produce, how to eat more fruits and vegetables. The national guidelines really encourage us to continue to eat 3 or 4 cups of fruits and vegetables, maybe even more, maybe 5, maybe 6. So I would say take that plate, have half of that plate as produce. So particularly focused on vegetables because, you know, studies come out all the time saying, well, for lowest risk of heart disease and hypertension and even diabetes, we know that eating more vegetables is even better than eating more fruit. We know more fruit is great, but it's higher in sugar in general. And so take that half of your plate and say, well, most of that's going to be vegetables. So that might be as simple as saying, when you have lunch, I'm going to have half of what I eat is going to be a big salad, or it's going to be some fresh carrots and celery that I've cut up and have ready or something like that. And maybe you have a little fruit in there too. So maybe half your plate's salad and you have a small apple with that. Then on the other half, you want to make sure that most of that other half, or what would be perhaps a third of your total plate, if you looked at it that way, is lean protein. And then you've got maybe a sixth left that's going to be some type of grain, preferably high fiber grain. Maybe that's a slice of whole wheat bread. That's very simple. Or maybe it's a half cup of quinoa or couscous or whole wheat pasta or brown rice or something that's going to be a whole grain, 100% natural grain. And of course, we're not always going to be able to eat like this, but if you have control over what you're eating, which I'll get to too, you know, trying to take more control over your food is a real big important part of this. Then you look at that plate. So we've got half a plate maybe of salad or veggies, maybe a small apple. We've got perhaps a chicken breast that you've sliced up and put on your salad. That would be easy. Or you've got some tuna or you've got beans or tofu or something like that. And then just maybe no more than a half cup of a grain. And again, particularly a whole grain or a slice of whole wheat bread or maybe half a whole wheat pita, you know, something simple. And what happens is that you end up saying, well, the protein is there because I've got good 4, 3, 4, 5 ounces of protein. That helps with muscle, of course. We know that helps maintain lean muscle. It helps with tissue. It also helps with bone. So the protein is not going to be left out there. We know that all the roughage, all the fruits and vegetables, particularly the vegetables, by the time you actually digest the vegetables, unless they're starchy ones like peas or corn or something like that, you've probably burnt more calories than what it really, you know, has in that actual vegetable. So you're really kind of thinking of the vegetables as something that gets your body going, gets fiber, gets your gut moving, burns a lot of calories, but you don't really have any calorie problem with those. So that's good. And then your fruit, you just keep that to something small. Even a simple thing like buying small apples as opposed to buying big apples, maybe 60 calories.
Those little tangerines or the
The clementines. Those are perfect. Yeah, something like a clementine or something like, you know, at home we do a lot of things like putting grapes in little half cup containers, something like that. So you have your fruit, but not too much. And so you've got that meal that's really well taken care of. Another way to think about that for people who are trying to get leaner is even doing something like buying the whole wheat bread that's the lower calorie bread. There's a lot of breads out there that are 100% whole wheat, but they're only 50 or 60 calories a slice or a little bit lower carb. And so you make a sandwich. You have a turkey and mozzarella cheese sandwich on that low-calorie bread, and you have your fresh veggies and a clementine. That's a pretty good lunch. It's plenty of food, but it's not very high calorie. So you've got your protein, low-calorie carbs, your veggies. And then you're also looking to say, if I'm going to drink something, it should be pretty healthy for me. I would just be really mindful for people who are trying to get leaner, lose a little bit of body fat, maintain lean mass, that they're not drinking a lot of lemonade or punch or even a lot of juice or a lot of
soft drinks,
for sure. Alcohol, things that are going to be liquid but have a lot of calories in them. So maybe you're doing things like mixing a little bit of juice. Maybe you take a third of a cup of juice and you mix it with seltzer water or something. Or you're having kind of a diet, maybe more of a diet drink more often. Or you're just obviously just drinking more water. I mean, the simple idea of having a big container of water that you've squeezed an orange in or squeezed a lemon in, that you just drink more because it tastes better than regular water. And having that kind of thing available so you're sitting down and you're staying hydrated too. We know when the body's hydrated, you're much more apt to be able to stay more fit and you'll feel more like exercising. Sometimes I'll work with clients who'll say, well, I would exercise. I just don't feel like it. Well, their diet's really not up to the point where they're probably going to feel very good exercising. So we try to work the diet up, get the hydration in, and then you got more energy. So if you have more energy, you're going to feel more like exercising.
Yeah. Also, excuse me, when you begin exercising, if you take it slow, even if you begin walking, it's not very long before the body kicks, something kicks in and says, the body is saying, gee, I like this. And you feel good.
Right.
I guess the trick is you have to think, in 10, 15 minutes, I'm going to feel better than I do now.
Right.
So you got to get up and get going,
yeah.
get moving. Well, you said a moment ago, you said one of the things that you wanted to talk about was taking control of your meals. What do you mean exactly?
Well, what I mean is when you really look at seriously enhancing your body, and again, for many of us, it's the idea of, you know, staying strong, staying fit, losing some body fat. That's probably 80 or 90% of Americans. That's really where it's at. And so when we look at that, it's the idea of saying, well, what's in my control now in terms of what I can do with that and what's not? If you go out to lunch every day, you have a lot of food that's out of your control. Now, you can make good choices, but we do know that if you eat out more, usually those foods are made with more fat, more salt, higher calorie than what you would make yourself. So a first step would be saying, well, in my week, what day am I going to go grocery shopping? What day am I going to get to the store? You save a lot of money if you shop yourself as opposed to eating out as much. And you then have control over it. So you can go to the store. You can get the fruits and vegetables, which are the things we often don't eat enough of when we go out to eat. And you can make sure that you have those available. And you can go ahead and prep a little bit. And so when you bring things home from the store, maybe you get carrots and you go ahead and chop up a bunch of carrots and put them in little containers. Or you get things simple like clementines or little apples or small bananas or things like you don't really have to do anything but throw them in your bag or make a lunch with that. And you get things like easy to use meats. You know, maybe you go and you get cooked ham and you go and take it and have it sliced so that you've got it ready to have on a sandwich, which is actually quite an expensive way to do it. So you take out the problem area. It might be lunch. As you say, oh, once a week I'll go out for lunch, but 4 days a week, I'm going to do this. The other thing that happens when you take control of a meal like that is you find, gosh, I've made that meal. I bring it with me. I don't have to take the time to drive to a restaurant, wait to get my food. So all of a sudden, I walk for a half an hour at lunch and I spend 20 minutes eating and there's my lunch. And so now you build in activity or exercise because you've taken control of the food. And so that really has a double benefit. You know, you eat better, you save money, maybe triple. Eat better, save money. And you might have some time for a little activity.
So it seems to me that, turn my mic on here, that helps. It seems to me that a little bit of planning is critical and key in this.
And overall, people will tell me, they'll say, well, I don't have time. I have to go out to lunch because I just don't have time during the week to get food. And I'll say, you know, every day you're taking a half an hour to get somewhere and get back. So you've got about 2.5 hours if you didn't go out for lunch that you don't need that much time to grocery shop. So sometimes it is looking at that and just getting a step ahead. I think for so many people, we end up getting to a point where we say, gosh, how did I get to where I just don't feel so good and I've gained this weight and I just, and life happens and you just get in your ruts and we all do it. And so it's stopping and saying, okay, where am I going to start? And I just feel like shopping for groceries is a really good place to start where then you have options. Makes it easy to eat well. So we almost have to make it easy for ourselves to get the food and eat well and then have some type of accountability. I think whenever you're trying to make these changes, we know that, you know, if you have support, if you have accountability, it's helpful. It might be that you just start journaling the food you eat. We know that most people eat a lot better even if nobody else looks at it except for them, if they just start writing down in a journal what they're eating. Because, of course, then we're aware of what we're eating. We might say, wow, I had 3 big glasses of lemonade today. Wow, I guess that, you know, that's a lot of calories. Or I wonder how many calories is in that. Maybe getting yourself a little fat and calorie guide that you can buy for, you know, $5 just to be aware of food and, oh, gosh, what am I doing there?
Mm-hmm.
That's helpful. Or there's a lot of online tools. Or certainly you could work with a registered dietitian and find a plan that works for you and have some accountability. Find a friend who is wanting to make some similar changes so you can work together and maybe even cook together and shop together, or these kinds of things.
An exercise buddy, too.
Right.
Walking buddy. This is Focus, and today we're talking with registered dietitian Susan Kundrat of Nutrition on the Move. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us this morning with a phone call or by email. Your questions and comments are invited. I look forward to hearing from you. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, what about snacking, or what about breaking your meals down into a number of meals across the day rather than 3?
Well, you know, the exact timing of that is kind of up for debate, but we do know that most people, if they eat at least around every 3 or 4 hours a day, they probably, for one, won't need to eat as much at a time because you know you're eating again. And secondly, we know that the body really does well with that. In other words, if you're not making your body wait 6 or 8 hours to get fuel and it has consistent fuel in, we know that as long as you're eating a pretty decent balance at that time, then your body has more available carbohydrate for energy for the brain so you feel better. It has more protein to break down to amino acids so you can maintain lean body mass, all those things. And so I have a rule of thumb for my clients and athletes that I like them to eat every 3 or 4 hours. And that might mean that you also make sure you get up and have breakfast and you're not waiting till 1 o'clock to be the first time you eat. There's a lot of data to indicate eating more fuel earlier is better. And then you just have to make sure the snacks you do eat are just not too high a calorie. Everybody would require different calories, and if they're trying to maintain lean mass and lose mm-hmm. body fat, it is usually 400, 500, 600 calories less than you need. And, you know, if you're trying to lose that. So there are some, you know, a lot of plans that you'll see in magazines and things will be probably somewhere around 1,400, 1,500, 1,600 calories. So it'll vary for each person, but we know that for most people, they're probably eating 2,000, 2,500 calories a day. So it's a matter of dropping that down, saying, hey, each meal will be maybe 300 or 400 calories, and I'm going to have a couple hundred calorie snack in there. And then your best bet is, like you said about the plate, how do you set up your plate in a meal? You want to set up that plate for a snack too. And a good rule of thumb is just to have some type of lower calorie carbohydrate, again, maybe a piece of fruit or something, and something with protein. So, for example, a snack might be having a yogurt or a Greek yogurt that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it or added to it, and you throw some fruit into that. So you're great. Or you have a cheese stick with a banana, for example. And so you're looking at ways to say the protein helps you feel satisfied. Mm. You know you ate something. It'll carry you over a little while. And the carbohydrate will give you some good energy and some fiber. And that brings up another point that when you're trying to stay lean, you want more fiber in your diet. If you get more fiber, you feel more full. The food moves through the system a little bit better, and you're maintaining a good, healthy body.
One of the things also we want to do is keep good, healthy fats in the diet, but not too many.
Right.
So what's the rule of thumb for that?
Yes. Well, if you think about getting fats in the diet, we know that primarily the fats we want are things like monounsaturated fats, olive oil, nuts, seeds, fatty fish like tuna or salmon or things like that. Those are really the best fats. So the first thing you'd think of is really look at the amount of oil you're using, the amount of fat that you're using. I periodically will have clients who will come in and will be eating really well but just can't seem to lose weight. But then when I look at how they're preparing food, particularly with olive oil, I'll have a lot of people who say, well, but I'm using olive oil, but it might be a quarter cup to saute things in and just too much fat. So like you say, a good rule of thumb is you know, maybe a thumb or the tip of your thumb, your fingernail on, mm-hmm. about that much oil would be enough to use in prepping anything and preparing any food, which might be a teaspoon or two. And then you just want to think with these things like nuts and seeds that are very good for you, but very high in calorie, you know, you'd want to keep that to probably a 3 or 4 tablespoons when you have it, because that is a lot of, you know, a lot of fat mm-hmm. overall. We know that even when you're trying to lose, you probably want to get at least 20% of your calories from fat. And so what that means on, let's say, for example, 1,600 calorie diet is you're still getting 300 calories or so from fat, but remembering that a teaspoon of most fat is about 50 calories, close to that. So it adds up pretty fast. So we want to make sure that you're not going overboard on things like, of course, margarine and butter and those kinds of things, or using products that are high-fat products. So you need to keep your fat down if you're trying to lose body fat, but you still want to have those better fats in the diet.
For someone who is a vegetarian or a vegan, what does lean eating, what does their plate look like?
Well, I think that when you look at the term vegetarian, you want to make sure that you remember what that means. So vegetarian really is based on the idea of vegetable. And so if you're a vegetarian, that doesn't mean that, well, I don't eat meat, but I'm going to eat a lot of Cheetos and all these other things that aren't meat, but they're not healthy. So if you are vegetarian, you just want to make sure that that is a vegetable-based diet, where your proteins might be more things like soybeans and tofu and nuts and seeds and things like that. But the rest should be a lot of fruits and vegetables and still having your whole grains. And in that case, some of the challenges with being vegetarian might be, can I get enough protein? Where you could, if you had these soy products, soy milk, that kind of stuff. And then also making sure you're still choosing the really high quality grains and getting your fruits and veggies in.
Okay. I have a little invitation from, excuse me, from Jay Pierce this morning. And hold on here. I'm going to clear my throat. Having a little difficulty here this morning. Anyway, Jay is interested in eating more healthfully. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, I know this means doing more meal preparation for ourselves, but some of us don't know exactly how to go about it. Then he says, but a lot of our listeners know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And we want them to teach us, neighbor to neighbor. And so Jay is asking our listeners to send your recipes for delicious, nutritious, and, he says, expeditious dinners to Jay Pierce at WILL, 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61801, or email them from our website, and we'll put them in a cookbook to benefit Illinois Public Media. And maybe along the way here as we do this, you, listener, may get to teach Jay how to prepare your recipe on TV come this June. So that will benefit WILL, Illinois Public Media. Speaking of benefiting WILL and Illinois Public Media, we are in the middle of our spring fund drive, our membership campaign. My name is Celeste Quinn, and Internet Director Jack Brighton now joins us in the studio. And Jack, one of the ways you can become a member of the Friends of WILL is to join online.
WILLpledge.org is the website to go to make your pledge via credit card right now. So you can do that. You can also call us at 244-9455 to make your pledge right now. It's very important that you do that because we got to keep the show going. This show, Focus, is one of my favorite shows. It actually is my favorite show. Along with Jon Stewart, I got to be honest. Anyway, so, but, you know, it's the kind of show that's serves the community in a way that nothing else does, really, in this community. It's a unique place for people to talk about issues, share recipes or insights mm-hmm. or stories. And it's a great place for all of us who care about what's going on in the world to get a better view. So it's whole grain goodness. It's nutritious and
right.
delicious.
And delicious.
That's right. So it's, you know, very, you know, seriously, though, it's the kind of show that is served up a lot of great programs over the years, 30 years now. So if you're one mm-hmm. of those people who really loves Focus like I do, we really need to hear from you right now. If you have never made a contribution before, especially your first contribution right now at 244-9455 will go a long way to taking us to our goal of 1,000 pledges during this fund drive. And we really would like to welcome you into the supporters of WILL and Focus. Or you can go online to willpledge.org. May I say one more thing about?
You may.
Okay. So we have been publishing our archives of Focus and AFMAG and news features and Keeping the Faith and Media Matters and all the things that we do here locally on our website since 1998. And I would say that while there are tens of thousands of archives there, a lot of people go there and listen to shows that they missed, or they go back and listen to something they wanted to catch up on, or they do the podcast thing where they download it into their iPod or whatever. And that's a service that we support and make free for everyone. And we intend to continue doing that until they pull the mouse out of our cold, dead hand. And so this is another service that I want to make sure that people understand. This is something that we feel very strongly is a public service. Focus over the air or online. You can get it anytime. So help us support that service by going to willpledge.org or make your pledge call right now to 244-9455.
Yep. As a listener, you're an important part of this whole operation, and we're encouraging you to take the next step and call with that pledge of financial support, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Thanks, Jack. It is 10:32. This is Focus. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. Today, we are opening the phone lines. We have opened the phone lines and the email message folder for questions about diet and nutrition. Our guest is licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. And one of the things we've talked about this morning so far, building lean foods into our meals and how that can help us lose body fat. Susan is also happy, of course, to field whatever questions about diet and nutrition you may have. 333-9455, the number to call in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And maybe our listeners have some ideas for healthy, lean eating. So maybe they've got a recipe they'd like to share with us this morning, in addition to sending it to Jay Pierce here at WILL. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Let's take a call now. A listener in Champaign, line one. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question about particularly breakfast, but I read somewhere not too long ago that having a hot cereal for breakfast is better for you than a cold cereal. It had something to do with the glycemic index or something like that, where whatever, if you were having something with a, I think it was a higher glycemic index, but that's what I'm kind of questioning, how to find these things. But something like oatmeal is better for you than even a granola, for instance, a cold granola. And if overnight then, that night, you would lose more weight. It would make your body work harder to lose more weight. Do you have any ideas on this, or what are good things to eat that would help with that?
Yes, thanks for the question. I think what that's getting to is looking at the glycemic index or glycemic load, to talk about that first, is really looking at the idea of how long a carbohydrate takes to be digested or broken down to sugar. And so a food like oatmeal, a hot cooked food like that, or particularly oatmeal because of the type of fiber and it's the way that it's set up, has a lower glycemic index, meaning that the amount of time it takes is a little bit longer to be broken down to sugar. And some of that is because as the food's cooked, it gets more gummy and the fibers take longer to actually, they're more viscous and you've got more fluid coming in. And there's a lot of things that affect this. But one thing, one reason you might say, well, maybe hot oatmeal is better because that makes the glycemic index in some cases with foods kind of get a little bit lower and may take longer to break down to sugar. It keeps your blood sugar a little more normalized and doesn't give you as much of a spike. The difference, too, between most granolas and regular oatmeal is that oatmeal itself is not very high in real sugar. It's high in carbohydrate that, again, takes longer to digest, whereas most granolas have a lot of honey or sugar or sweetener added to them, where it's a bit higher glycemic index because that's quick sugar. So that does turn to sugar in the body or blood sugar faster. And so I think that that makes a lot of sense, where this hot oatmeal, you have to kind of cook it down, takes longer to digest. The nice thing about oatmeal when you make it yourself is that even adding just a little bit of sugar or a little bit of honey or a little bit of maple syrup really is what all we need generally. Whereas if you have sweetened cereals, they have a lot more sugar in them generally than what you would put on yourself. And so you have that going for you too. You know, there's also some people who believe that if you have something warm at every meal, that may help in terms of the gut and kind of burns a little bit more calories and those things. So that might play into it as well. But it makes a lot of sense to use oatmeal for many reasons. Also, we know that for people who have high cholesterol, for some people, that's going to help maybe bring down lipids a little bit if you have it consistently enough. And it's a type of fiber because it's kind of expands when you eat it that you feel full longer generally. So there's a lot of great reasons to have that. And there may be many factors why it could be more helpful for weight loss. But that's a really good point.
I see. And so when you're looking for foods generally, though, the low glycemic index is what you're looking for.
Right. Low glycemic index is meaning that it just, again, takes longer generally for that food to break down to actual sugar or eventually blood sugar in the body. And what I would say is, you know, you'll see all kinds of things. If you go online and look at glycemic index or glycemic load or these kinds of things, there'll be there's a lot of books out there and a lot of websites that'll say, well, just eat low glycemic index foods. I don't really subscribe to that idea, but I do think the idea of having more fiber in general, often those are lower glycemic index foods, not always. But eating more foods that are closer to their natural food, like oatmeal itself is just a whole grain. It's just a basic, really good for you whole grain, just like brown rice or just like whole wheat flour or things like that. So we also know that's another thing, that besides glycemic index, it's just more of a natural food is better for you. We know nutritionally it is. Usually takes longer to digest. But there will be some foods that just are pretty high glycemic index foods, like a fruit, some fruits, for example. Mm-hmm. They're still really good for you. So I don't think you should just eat the low glycemic index foods, but use that. That can be one more tool or one more guide to say, hey, I'm going to eat more lower glycemic index foods and put that into my diet. That also might be easier in terms of blood sugar, take a little bit longer to digest, and that can be very helpful too. I will say that I've been at different presentations and, you know, workshops and heard different people talk about their research about this whole issue because it is kind of a hot issue right now. And for athletes, we usually say, well, lower glycemic index foods before you exercise. So let's say if somebody right now is training for the half marathon or marathon here coming up, oatmeal in the morning is really good. Maybe peanut butter even mixed in with the oatmeal to give you a little bit of fat and protein to even make it go longer is a really good thing to have in the morning before you train or before you run. And then afterwards, we might say, well, that's a good time to have juice or even milk, chocolate milk that's got more sugar in it, because that's quick-acting carbs, which then gets back into the muscle faster, so more high glycemic index after. So you might hear and read things about that. And as a general rule, that's true. You know, we want foods before we work out that take a little longer to digest if you're going to train longer, because you got to have them available for a longer period of time. And so there's some interesting data with that, but there have been studies too to say, well, it really depends on the type of food it is also and how quickly it can get in the system. So there's probably a lot of things happening there. But it's one tool that you can look at.
Okay, for later night snacks, like before, not before you go to bed, but, you know, late night snacks, what are good things that won't, what do I want to say, won't add to your weight problem? Is fruit, like, too high in sugar to eat at that time of night, or...
No, I don't think it's too high in sugar, but I would go back to the idea of mixing a carbohydrate with a protein. We know for some people, even for sleep, they do better if they've got some kind of quick carbohydrates. You always hear potatoes before you go to bed, that's a good thing because it's kind of quick sugar, but does break down, you know, a little more evenly. So even something like, you know, if you have a leftover baked potato, maybe you have half of that with a little bit of cheese on it, so you get some protein too. or yogurt with fruit, so there's a little protein. Or a lot of people feel better having a bowl of cereal before they go to bed. Again, the cereal itself in most cases is kind of high glycemic index, but milk is pretty low. So you mix those two together, and that makes sense. Plus, having a little protein before you go to bed, we think for most people, helps you maintain lean body mass or maintain your muscle mass better. The other thing I tell people is just a half a sandwich. Just a half of a turkey or ham sandwich or tuna sandwich or something is a really good thing to have. You get carbohydrates, you get proteins, it's pretty satisfying, and then you don't have to eat a lot, but you feel like you got something that's going to kind of hold you over for a while you sleep.
I see. Okay, well, that's good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. Next, we talk with a listener in Vermilion County waiting for us on line two. Hi. Line two? Vermilion County, we'll come back to you. Let's go next, would you believe, to San Francisco, line four. Good morning.
Hey, morning. Hey, by the way, we have a lost and found out here, and if anybody lost their heart, it's really kind of getting filled up out here, so come back and pick them up. Hey, I wanted to ask your nutritionist if she's familiar with miso.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever made it? I understand it's fairly easy to make, and I had an ulterior motive in calling because with this, as I understand it, the people that survived Hiroshima and Nagasaki were those that ate miso, and apparently it helps keep your body from getting various cancers or whatever happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So obviously if people in America are going to be bombarded with radiation from something that may go on for another couple of months, is miso easy to make? I understand it's fermented, and I'm just wondering if you know about any of this.
Well, I've never made miso, so I can't say exactly how to make it, but it's certainly a good product. Now, what we're thinking about with different soy foods is that we really do recommend that people have kind of more of the natural soy foods like miso, which really is just kind of a, you know, it's a soy-based food that some people just think of more as a condiment almost, because you can make miso soup with it and use it in different products where you might have a broth, that kind of thing. People probably had it as miso soup. And also tempeh and tofu and these foods that really are healthy, good products. And so it makes a lot of sense that just the way, you know, the soy is formulated is going to be healthy for us. And there's not a lot to it in terms of calories necessarily, but it's usually also what people add to the miso that make it healthy. A lot of times you're adding onions or you're adding other vegetables or things like that, that together with the soy product itself is very healthy. So, yeah, it's a great thing to eat.
Okay. And next we're going to go back to Vermilion County. Line two, hi.
Hi. I'm calling to ask about the idea of the soluble fibers such as oatmeal and bran. I read someplace that it's not a good idea possibly to take your vitamins and your medicines at the same time you take these soluble fibers because they would tend to bind things up. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yes, good question. The soluble fibers themselves, particularly things like oatmeal, usually the wheat bran fiber, if it's a wheat-based cereal, that's more insoluble, so that's a little different type of fiber. But fibers in general like that, if you have a lot of fiber, tend to decrease absorption of certain nutrients. There are phytates, they're called, in some of these fibers that would bind on to certain nutrients, and maybe you don't absorb as much of them. And so if I tell people if they're taking their multivitamin or their other vitamins, the most important thing is to take them consistently. So if you feel like you can take them better in the morning, even if you're getting high-fiber cereal in the morning with them, take it that time, because you just want to make sure you're getting it, but know that not everything's going to be absorbed no matter what you eat with something. But for a lot of people, they do a better job of actually taking their vitamins before they go to bed. They may have a little snack or a little something in their system so they can still digest it fine, but it's not as much fiber. Because for a lot of us, we get a lot of fiber in the morning. If you have a high fiber cereal, you have oatmeal, you have fruit in the morning, that may be one of the highest fiber meals. And so it is true that, you know, that might be a reason to take your vitamins or take your multivitamin at a different time. I have a lot of people, too, who when they take their vitamins or their supplements in the morning, they get kind of sick to their stomach because the body just, you know, your gut's kind of slowed down in the morning and might bother you more anyway. And so the whole thing is to remember to take them. And so I tell people, put them by your, maybe by your toothbrush. And so if you have your vitamins by your toothbrush at night when you brush your teeth, you'll remember to take them because you have them available at that time.
Does a listener want to follow up?
Yeah. Would you say the same thing about prescription medicines too then, to take them at a time more separate from the soluble fibers?
I would say to look at the particular recommendations for that medicine, because for some medicines, they get absorbed better with food and they get absorbed better with a meal. For other medicines, they don't, and they're better absorbed between meals. And so that would be quite specific to that medicine. And of course, when you get to where you're taking a lot of medicines, it can get very confusing because you're trying to figure out the best time for absorption or which foods you can eat. Maybe you can have grapefruit with some, but you can't have it with some other ones. So I would check to whatever specific to that medicine.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll free, 800-222-9455. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. This is Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn, our guest this morning in this hour, registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. I wanted to go back to the caller who called about oatmeal, and you mentioned that a little sweetener in there is just fine and dandy. How much?
I would...
A tablespoon?
Teaspoon? If you think about a teaspoon is about a teaspoon of honey or sugar or whatever sugar you might use is about 15 or 20 calories. So it's not very much. And so if you used a teaspoon, maybe even two, that's probably quite reasonable for what you take in. The other thing I would say is sometimes we use more sugar because we just want some sweetener in it. So consider throwing on some strawberries with a little bit of sugar. I mean, that usually works great with oatmeal because the natural sweetener in berries or blueberries or strawberries or a banana or something like that, when you eat it with the oatmeal, it really sweetens it up and you might not need very much sugar. So using that is helpful. Or for some people, if they want to use a different type of low-calorie or calorie-free sweetener. I just find that for many people, if they eat the oatmeal that's already packaged with sweetener in it, the brown sugar, and I like that too, the brown sugar oatmeal or something. Another way you could do it is say, if you're going to eat two packets anyway, which some people do, just mix a regular packet with a sweetened one. That's probably going to be
fine.
That's
pretty smart.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need all that sugar.
Yeah.
Most people find that those are a little too sweet anyway.
Okay, so let's take another call. This is a listener in Urbana. Hello, you're on Focus. Line one.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have two questions for you. And the first question is about whole wheat. I've ground whole wheat at home, and we made bread, and it's somewhat dense, but it tastes good. And every time I've bought whole wheat from the store, either the ground flour and made something with it, or just a product made from whole wheat, it tastes like cardboard. Now, I was wondering, is there actually a difference? Do they keep the germ in when they make whole wheat and put it in products in the store?
Well, I'm not an expert on exactly how they're all made. I do know that breads will differ when you look on the label. You know, one thing we always recommend people do is to buy a bread with 100% whole wheat flour as its first ingredient. But many breads will have other ingredients farther down, that's white bread or white flour or other things too, or different types of, you know, components to keep the bread together and different things like that. So I guess what I would suggest is if you buy whole wheat bread in the store, I would make sure there are not many ingredients, and 100% whole wheat flour really is the primary flour. We know with a lot of breads, you have to, you know, makes a little better bread if you add a little white flour in and things too. But it might be more what else is added in, or preservatives, or things like that. So I guess I'd still try to get homemade natural bread if you can. That's 100% whole wheat that tastes more like you say, like regular bread.
And my second question is there something to help me stay more full? I'm pretty active at work. I eat a cup and a quarter of oatmeal in the morning, and I'm hungry 4 hours later, really hungry. And I've tried eating two eggs with that, and I pretty much stay hungry.
Yeah. Well, two things probably are happening. If you are fit and working out and everything, even if you eat a good breakfast, you should be pretty hungry within 3 or 4 hours. That's a good sign. That's a sign your body's using fuel well. It's time to eat again. So that's good. The other thing I might suggest for you if you need the calories is maybe adding more fat in the morning. If you add something with fat and protein, let's say eggs are a good example. They have fat and protein, so that was a good option. But also I would consider maybe, you know, adding – I talk about adding peanut butter to oatmeal. Well, that is an easy way for some people to feel like it lasts a little longer. They get a lot more full. So if you added a couple tablespoons of peanut butter to your oatmeal, then you get protein and you get fat. And then I might consider another protein source to add to breakfast, maybe, again, yogurt or something, because we know the food with the highest satiety factor generally is the food product would be a protein or mm-hmm. some type of protein, usually has more staying power mm-hmm. along with your fiber, along with what you're doing. So I might try that and say maybe you have oatmeal, you have yogurt, and a little peanut butter in your oatmeal so that you've got a couple different options to add more fiber there and add more protein.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call. I would imagine that if you're pretty active and you're hungry at that point in the day, you know, mid-morning when it's time to take a break, maybe a fat-free milk product?
Sure.
Fat-free chocolate milk?
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I think we're so conditioned to think that, oh, I shouldn't get hungry too fast or this or that. And really, for most of us, it's a good sign. It's a sign your body's using fuel, you're digesting fuel well. It's not a bad thing to be hungry more often. It's really then just about what you choose. So for many people I work with, particularly if they're working out and exercising, you know, they do much better having their breakfast, having a little snack in the morning, mm-hmm. having their lunch, having a snack, having their dinner. So you do just plan that and space it out. Even a handful of nuts in the morning might be enough mm-hmm. for some people to just kind of carry through for another hour or two. And that's a good thing to, you know, spread that fuel out.
Yeah. Maybe you'd get into your lunchbox and have that small apple.
Yes, have that early.
At 10 or 11 o'clock and save the rest of your lunch for lunchtime.
Right, exactly. Think of it like kids in school. You know, my 9-year-old, that's what they do. They take that little break about 9:30 or 10, have a little snack out of their lunch. They go grab something, and then they heat their lunch at 11:30 or 12. And we should all probably do that. It's a great way to be eating.
Yeah. This is Focus. Our guest this morning, registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. What else should we talk about here this morning before we have to bid adieu?
Well, I did want to mention, you know, thinking about the pledge drive, and it made me think about when I came to this community, which was almost 20 years ago, and coming here, and I remember, you know, as I met friends and people at the university, I didn't know anyone when I came here, and it just makes me think how many people told me once I got on campus what a great public radio and public TV station we had here and WILL and that was one of the favorite things. I would ask people when I came here, what are your favorite things about this community? And one thing was just the people were friendly and it was a good place to live and the university and all these things. But many people said to me right away that they really appreciated what we had at WILL. And then friends of mine who've left town have said, boy, I sure miss WILL. Like, that's always a main thing that they talk about. And I was always involved in radio. I worked in high school at our local radio station all through high school at our little station in my hometown in Iowa and loved radio from the time I was young. So for me, it's been just a thrill, you know, being involved in the show here and seeing people in the community and having them tell me how much they appreciate what we're doing. And so I just think that, you know, it's such a gold mine what we have here, and I really appreciate it. And just as you were saying, Jack, the things of online, being able to go back and listen to a show you missed, I do that all the time. I'll catch a little bit of something when I'm working or something, and I'll think, oh, great, I can go back. You know, and a lot of my students or people who work with me will say, I didn't catch your show, but I listened to it the next day, and how much they appreciate that. And so I just would encourage people, if they feel the same way, the main thing we need is people to kind of come forward and help support what we have. But it is an amazing, you know, WILL is an amazing asset to our community and makes my life better every day. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's listeners and viewers and people who use the web. It's those folks who keep us afloat. It's people radio.
Right.
It's community radio. It's something that is supported by our listeners, our viewers, and our web visitors. Jack Brighton is our internet director.
And I'm here to say the number to call right now, 244-9455, 217-244-9455. You can make your contribution right now, because that's what we're doing right here. Or you can go online to willpledge.org and make a contribution right there. You know, one of the things that, you know, people may think, well, you know, we're facing a big challenge, and we always are facing a big challenge to keep the funding going here. But it's really the way we meet those challenges is one contribution at a time. We're not asking for anyone to pick up the whole tab, just a little bit of it. It's kind of like a wheel, you know, one of those things on the playground that spins around, and, you know, you take, you know, 10 people, you know, and they get involved in pushing it a little bit. So each person just keeps the wheel going a little bit by making a small, you know, a little shove, a little push. That's what we're asking you to do right now. You know, $52, you know, a dollar a week, you know, that kind of contribution really goes a long way when you add that up to 1,000 people doing it. And that's what we're going for right here. So right now, you can make that little push on the wheel. Keep our flywheel going. How far do I carry this metaphor? 217-244-9455 and make your contribution, or go to willpledge.org.
Yeah. Spend a little time right now and you'll get a lot in return with that pledge of $52, that annual contribution. Maybe you can do $120 a year. A $10 a month contribution for WILL is just a little over 30 cents a day. That's a really great deal. Do your part to keep the news and information flowing here on WILL across platforms now, as we say, across radio, television, internet, and our efforts out in the community and community engagement work. 217-244-9455, the number to call, or click and join at willpledge.org. Either way, you'll be investing in a service that you use and value. And we'll remind you here that we accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express, and there are ways to get on a payment plan. If you're a University of Illinois employee, we have payroll deduction. And then also, we're sitting here at the table, and in front of us are a myriad of wonderful little thank you gifts that are very practical. And when you make your contribution, you can select a thank you gift in return.
That's right. So go online, willpledge.org, or 244-9455 on the old-fashioned telephone. That still works. I still like the telephone.
The telephone is great.
Radio is still
radio
great.
Radio is great.
Absolutely.
WILL radio has been around since 1922.
Yes.
Yes.
And just as Susan was saying, this is the kind of community that really values community. And, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way in terms of the way that we're supported. It's all a community effort. You know, we've been a part of this community since 1922. Can you believe that? Well, not me personally, but.
No, we've been around a long time, Jack, you and I, at WILL, but not that long.
Absolutely right. And and that's the spirit that we bring, that we try to reflect, and that we ask you to take part in right now during our membership drive. Once again, the phone number is 217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org.
And we want to thank our friend Susan Kundrat, who has been a friend of WILL for a long time now and also has been doing radio programs with us here at WILL for at least, it's got to be more than a dozen years.
Mm-hmm. Long time, so I've really enjoyed it.
So thanks to you, and we'll see you next month.
Okay,
very good. And that wraps up the first hour of Focus. My name is Celeste Quinn. Kyle Mabry is our technical director.